Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you going to do, Commissioner?
There's only one thing we can do.
Batman! Sir, it's the Batphone.
Yes, Commissioner.
Batman?
We'll be right there.
Biff, bam, pow. This is Batman Land.
Be careful. Maybe a trap.
Each week, we chat about the 1966 Batman TV show.
We're Batman and Robin, the crime fighters.
We discuss the episodes that aired this week on SBS Viceland. My name is Dan Barrett. I'm joined this week by my blushing co-host, Nick Bassine.
It's a pleasure to be here as always, Dan.
And usually I come up with some sort of clever, jokey way to introduce people. But our guest today, basically, he is Batman. He's a guy that builds his own Batmobile, like a full roadworthy Batmobile. And I could not be more excited to have in the studio with us, Zach Mihailovic.
It's pretty good.
I got the name right.
Yeah, Mihailovic. As we were saying before, I've got no idea really how it's pronounced.
We are here to talk about Batman. Yes. Now, each week we do talk about the Batman episodes we've seen this week on SBS Viceland. Nick, as is always the case, I never have a clue what on earth I have witnessed. Although I will say this week the narrative is a lot easier to follow than most. But Nick, run us through what happened.
So as far as I can tell, there's some harmless cat-related stuff stolen from a bunch of places.
All three are cat-oriented.
And they're blaming Catwoman.
The Princess of Plunder.
Catwoman.
The police, as usual, can't and won't do anything about it.
When facing an adversary like the Countess of Criminality, there is only one man who can deal with.
So Batman and Robin try to ferret her out by running some fake news in a gossip column.
So what can I do for you, Batman, baby?
Need a little free publicity?
But the columnist is in league with Catwoman and her cat burglars, who look more like they're in the Mickey Mouse Club.
You are the creme de la creme of Gotham City's cat burglars.
They set some traps, but there's an eclipse and Batman and Robin get away.
Batman, you think of everything.
They track Catwoman, who impersonates an old lady, to the Gotham State Building. They're about to throw Robin out of a window again.
12 floors straight down.
But Batman tells them not to, so they stop.
All right, Cat.
They fight.
Yes.
The gossip columnist is a lot stronger than he looks.
Yeah.
But Batman and Robin win, and Catwoman hits on Batman hard.
Well, I got a girl for you.
And he's into it.
Batman, are you blushing?
Really, really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fierce.
She was shameless. I was into it. I liked it.
Yeah, now this is obviously a Catwoman-themed double-parter. I have to say, I went into this expecting it to be reasonably entertaining. These were two really good episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second episode started to lose me a bit, but right at the end, it just came back in full force. Man, this is something phenomenal. These two episodes, it was Hot Off the Griddle, which aired initially on September 14th, 1966, and The Cat and the Fiddle, September 15th, 1966. Zach, before we go into the episode itself, like, when was the last time you saw 66 Batman?
It would have been the movie that I had on VHS.
Yeah.
So I bought a Video Easy out of all their VHS, and that was one little goodie in the pack, and I didn't really get through it. I think I watched like Band of Brothers or something, so I was into something really intense and then put that on and my brain just couldn't compute what was happening.
Yeah.
So 10 years.
Look, I love the movie, but I don't think the TV show and the movie are really comparable. Like, I think the TV show is just so much better.
Yeah.
Because it just compacts so much great Batman goodness into 25 minutes.
So when was the last time you watched an episode of the show?
For this one, probably going back 15, 20 years.
Okay, yeah.
Because like my mum was into it. Is that weird? She was into it.
It might be. It depends on why.
Well, it's quite an erotic episode, that one, wasn't it?
Like,
I didn't know.
Wait, was your mum into it as much as Catwoman seems to be into Batman in this one?
No, I'm gonna say no. That's pretty difficult.
But you watched it as a kid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then. Just love the formula of the way the episodes, you just get in the same dose, you know, in a different way. And then you just got a different appreciation for it when you get older, especially some of the actors that are in it, you know.
Yeah, I'd imagine you have a different appreciation for it when you've built your own Batmobile. But we're going to get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
I'm very excited by this week's episode. The beginning of these two-parters started with some cat burglaries that are taking place. The Catwoman and her henchmen, they stole a whole bunch of different things through a series of cat burglaries. We saw a Lacey's catalogue, much like Macy's, the department store from the US. There was a pair of mittens, or maybe three mittens, as we find out shortly, and a sort of model catamaran from the Nautical Society. The mittens belong to Andrew S. Kisson, who is the father of triplets and Gotham's Father of the Year.
And parachuted down too.
Yeah, so Catwoman didn't even go into the apartment. No. She was just waiting for the goods. But the Father of the Year thing stuck out at me, Nick. You have spent some time as a daddy blogger.
I have.
Okay, like you get upset when you hear about Gotham's Father of the Year. And it's a guy named Andrew S. Kitten. It doesn't sound like a real name. He seems dodgy. Like, is your back immediately up against the wall when you hear about guys like this?
Well, yeah, when I, during my time as a daddy blogger, I hated all other daddies and daddy bloggers. Because I was going for supremacy. I wasn't there to make friends.
No.
And so, yeah, any daddy named Kitten sounds like fake news.
Yeah, totally understand. Now Catwoman, she's decided that she's going to besmirch the good name of Gotham's fair metropolis, apparently. Nick, did you understand what was going with the canary business?
No. In a word, no. But is it something to do with cats liking to eat canaries?
You'd set a thief to catch a thief. You'd set some cheese to catch a mouse. To catch this breed of cat, you'd set a bird. Correct, Robin. And what kind of bird?
A canary.
You've done it again, old chap.
I really like the introduction of Jack O'Shea. Apparently he's too theatrical for Batman's tastes. But he has the third phone booth at a bookstore, which is dedicated to him and his quote-unquote journalism taking place. And I don't know what sort of crazy bookstore this was, because one, it's a bookstore.
Was it a bookstore or was it like a Woolworths with a dining counter and everything?
It was announced by Batman that it was a bookstore, and you could see the bookstore signage behind. I can't remember the name of the store. But you got three phone booths.
It was Globs.
Globs.
What the fuck? What kind of name is Glob? That's not a real name.
Very good question. But there seems to be some sort of deli taking place there as well, because Jack O'Shea reached out and he was calling for...
Hey, Pugsy, make me a corned beef on white, heavy on a mayo, 2 glasses of buttermilk.
You know, some sort of deli meat type thing.
Yeah, it was super weird. It looked more like one of those old-timey drugstores where you've got lots of different kind of products you can buy as well as a lunch counter.
Yeah, now Jack O'Shea had a humorous thing of claiming not to know who Batman was.
Mr. O'Shea, this is Batman.
Who?
Yeah. And then Batman took it seriously and is like, well, we met several weeks ago at the newspaper.
Come on, who is this really, Hubble? Leonard?
Oh, it's fantastic.
That was very good.
Did you guys know who Jack O'Shea was? Like, did he look familiar to either of you?
He looked like someone straight off the set of I Dream of a Genie, like that. Working actor in the 60s that would do all the sitcom shows.
Oh, yeah. He looked very much of the piece. And
great voice. He had a great voice, didn't he? Like,
yeah. Like, you're on the money saying that, you know, he was definitely somebody. The guy's name was Jack Kelly. He was best known for playing Bart Maverick from the TV show Maverick. So this was, you know, the James Garner show.
Yeah, okay.
As I learned, because Maverick's definitely before my time. And I've never seen the original, but I've seen the movie with Mel Gibson.
Great movie. Well, I don't know if it holds up, but I still enjoy it.
I watched it not long ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was great.
Fantastic. It's fun.
Who's the female lead? Is it Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster. Yeah. And Garner too, isn't
he? Yeah, so Garner comes back for
it. He's his dad. Spoiler.
But apparently what happened was they're filming the show and Garner was the star of the program at the beginning, but they fell into massive like overruns where they just weren't getting the episodes out fast enough. So they ended up coming up with some sort of gimmick where every second episode, it was a James Garner episode, but then it introduced his brother. And so they alternate Mavericks. So you've got, I think it's Brett Maverick is the main Maverick, but then you've got Bart Maverick, which is the Jack Kelly character. Now, Jack Kelly was with the series for the entire 5 or 6 seasons, and then when James Garner left, like a third Maverick brother came into it, and he became the alternating Maverick. And TV does not get made like that anymore.
This is quickly turning into the Maverick show.
Maverick cast, Maverick Land.
I have to say that I didn't watch any of the other Catwoman episodes. This was my first Catwoman experience.
There's only been one so far. And our other co-host on the show, Fiona, was in for that week. Can I ask you, what did you think of her performance?
I thought she was incredible.
Yeah, Julie Newmar, right?
Yeah.
She seemed amazing.
So sexy, so cool. And what I liked was that you could see how Michelle Pfeiffer seemed to model her performance on Julie Newmar's, but she stripped away all the 60s sexist bullshit and she was able just to be sexy and cool.
Yeah,
and
light on the puns, get rid of the puns.
Yeah, the puns were killing me.
Yeah.
But it was inspiring. I really loved it.
Now, the thing I noted in the first episode, and keep in mind, first season Batman only had one Catwoman episode for the entire duration. So by the time we've seen this episode, there's been the first season, and then she was in the movie as played by Lee Merriweather. But nice. Julie Newmar's back in the show, so she's the TV Catwoman for the first two seasons. But what's kind of interesting is I found her to be really unhinged. It seemed like much the same as remember when Cesar Romero kicked off as the Joker in the first season. He was really, really, like there was something off about him. Like he was just sort of slightly crazy and could snap at any moment and go from being sort of a cartoonish kind of a villain to something really just quite nasty. I felt she does the same thing. And I was concerned with the second episode because as we've seen so far, no performance as one of these villains is necessarily the same episode to episode. But she's come back, and like I kind of feel that she's got that same level of slightly anarchic, sort of slightly crazy background to her. There's something going on with her.
Yeah, she's amazing. And I guess what I lamented is that, and like I guess most of the villains, but with her in particular, people are very mean to her. First of all, she's called all kinds of horrible names. Somebody calls her a witch. Batman insists she's not a lady. The Countess of Criminality, Princess of Plunder. Viscountess of Venality and a hateful hussy. And then at the end, she's kind of stripped of her dignity a little bit in a way that I didn't like. You know, I thought she should, but she kind of kept her cool too.
She did throw him out of a building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was quite angry.
I actually kind of like that because every time we see the dynamic duo being trapped by the villain, they're always put into, as we see at the end of this episode, a moment where they're trapped some sort of ridiculous contraption like a rooftop barbecue cookout with giant magnifying glasses. But her first plan, her first instinct was just to throw them out the window.
Yeah, great instinct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what you do when you want to murder a caped like crusader.
I got so excited when you see them sail out the window like, hey, maybe this is the one where they get murdered. But then that net shows up.
Well, this is it. I mean, as Batman kept banging on about, like a Boy Scout, be prepared. And so when they did get thrown out the window, somehow Batman had the foresight to think that was a possibility. And so he got Captain Ahab and the White Whaling Company to put up some fishnets around the building. Always be prepared.
What was more impressive about that is that the henchmen didn't see it on the way up.
Yes.
So it was put after. So they're like, I'm going to need you there at 6:47 to put this net up. You got 2 minutes.
Yeah, because at 6:53, we're out the window.
Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah. The specific and he knew 6 seconds too, so he was on the money.
Yeah, completely on the money. What I loved, you got the scene with a henchman who refused to talk. They're pushing him around, going to give him what for. They threaten him with all sorts of things, but it's only when O'Hara, and he refuses to talk, he will not do it. But as soon as O'Hara gets his Irish police officer hand and is about to give him what for, he just suddenly starts squealing like a canary.
You can kick me, hit me, and stomp me, but I'll never talk. All right, I'll talk.
But that guy, like, I was impressed with his, like, comedic chops. It's this guy named Buck Cartarlin. And he was also the cigar-smoking gorilla from the Planet of the Apes movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so there's another Planet of the Apes reference here. He was a guy that kept on acting right up until his death in 2016, so we've only just lost him. Recently, he was in episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm and How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, like, when I saw photos of him later in life, I'm like, I know this guy. Like, he was a character actor right through.
Mm. You recognized him.
He kind of seemed familiar in a way that, you know, a lot of these 60 faces kind of look.
Because I've seen every episode of How I Met Your Mother at least 5 times, and I couldn't recognize him.
You don't remember his character name, Henry?
Don't remember.
Yeah.
He would look slightly different 50 years on. So bear in mind, there's been probably some aging there.
At some stage, he was rocking a moustache.
Now, I was also very busy just laughing constantly at How I Met Your
Yeah, yeah, I
mean, just nonstop.
Did he have the leopard print on? That might have given it away. Are they cats or mouse henchmen?
They're cats, yeah. But they look like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Amazing scene. Aunt Harriet cutting loose in stately Wayne Manor.
Oh, the Catoosie.
It's the latest dance.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
She's got moves.
Listening to the Catoosie by Benedict Arnold and the Traitors, which is a reference to Paul Revere and the Raiders, right. A popular music act of the moment.
There were a few pop culture references in this one. They had the Superman thing with the cat burglars.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Well, good's very generous.
Well.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud a couple of times when Catwoman says, nobody likes a preacher crime fighter. That was kind of funny. Robin says, holy olio. I don't know what olio is, but She says, I didn't know you could yodel. It's like a weird airplane Naked Gun type joke. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny. The next scene, we see them at this club called the Pink Sandbox. Now, guys, this club, definitely something going on here. What are your immediate thoughts?
I would say if my group of friends came to me and said, let's go to the Pink Sandbox, my hand would be up.
Yeah.
I mean, this place,
that's a good weekend
this
out.
Place was rocking.
You're in for a certain kind of a night.
Yeah, yeah. And they, you know, they Batman and Robin sit down for a meal, which was really great. I mean,
they did things with the only people dining.
Yes.
What are your specialties?
Cat burgers with catsup, chicken cacciatore, and various cuts of meats from choice Kansas City cattle.
If you'll come back in a moment, we'll give you our orders.
All right.
Yeah.
It's the after 10 menu.
What else goes on there after 10? But they are sitting in this booth, and I like just a second later, it swings around to trap the dynamic duo. So the entire place is a ruse. It's a mousetrap of sorts. But they find themselves in a little bit of a booth where they're then forced into an elaborate trap where they're forced to dance on a very hot floor, which Catwoman proves is incredibly hot by cooking an egg on it.
Two eggs. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why she bothered with the hot floor if she was just going to gas them anyway.
Yeah. And then she had the elaborate, like, upstairs magnifying glass thing as well. Like,
weird,
how pre-prepared was she?
Just shoot these guys.
Well, yeah.
Just shoot them.
Yeah. A fun scene right at the end of the second episode where the elevator they're trying to take to get to the top of this auction house, the top, it's not working, so he goes to get a bat jet, shoves it at the bottom, and fires it off. And I thought it was a bit strange seeing only Batman, like, out and about. It's rare you see only a Batman scene. But we find out where Robin's been all the time, and he's dressed as Mr. Zucchini.
Mr. Zubin Zucchini.
And there's this amazing scene where Burt Ward, comedically, I don't think generally delivers the goods, but he's hilarious in this scene where he's there facing off against Catwoman, who's dressed up as an old lady whose name I've forgotten. And so she's there in character. He's there in character in a trench coat and a moustache and whatnot. It's fantastic. I was well into that.
But, of course, in typical Robin style, as soon as he reveals himself, he gets caught. The cat burglars just grab him. He's garbage. He's terrible at this.
And they go to throw him out the window again.
Oh, he's a weak and ineffective superhero.
Incredibly so. Right at the end, we do see the Batman-Catwoman romantic tete-a-tete.
Oh, so hot. At first, she seemed a little bit humiliated, and I didn't like that. But then Batman's into it, and it all turns up. Like, he turns up.
It was a bit much. You have, like, sort of six dudes sort of standing around watching this romantic. It was not quite right.
That's the innocence of it, though. That's what's the best part, I think.
But the innocence was corrupted by a very blushing Batman right at the end as Catwoman came to him, not to kiss, but rather to give just a gentle little purr.
Yeah. I love Batman.
Normally, it's clear that the police are the completely incompetent ones in this show. But Batman is a detective. He's a serious detective. And his detective work consists of running up to somebody in front of a building saying, have you seen Catwoman? Come on. Do your homework, Batman.
That's a reasonable question.
Well, have you seen Catwoman? Do you know where she is? Do you know where she might be? Any clues? Do some work.
That's part of the process.
Unbelievable. I also have to say that I watched this with my 7-year-old. He's obviously grown up on the newer ones, and it's possibly questionable parenting that I'm taking him to these movies. But he doesn't like how Catwoman's claws are always out in the Julie Newmar version. Because in
Is this like a Wolverine thing? He's used to the claws being able to come out.
Yeah, in the Anne Hathaway or Michelle Pfeiffer's, I'm not sure.
Hers was always out too. Hers were just like the stick-on sewing.
Yes, that's things. Right. But so Anne Hathaway's, do they retract?
She didn't really have them. They were more a functional glove.
So what was he talking about?
Probably the Wolverine reference. But I like that his thought process is that he needs to be able to see two characters. He needs to be able to see someone that's pretty chilled and then someone that when their claws are out, it's business. It's party time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I like that.
That's how you know it's time to go.
Did your kid dig it generally?
He was more into these episodes, I think because of Catwoman, because she's a very recognizable bad guy. But generally, he's kind of bored.
Yeah.
Really?
There with these, with the old show.
Yeah.
he's much more into, you know, Batman versus Superman and
because
that level of violence.
Because of your dodgy parenting.
Yes, he and you know, it just, yeah, the effects, it looks better.
Yeah.
You know, what are you gonna do?
Because the good thing about doing this podcast is I've heard from a number of responsible parents of whom, like, their kids have been really enjoying it.
Yeah, I've ruined it for my child, apparently. Although he did pick up on the excessive amount of gassing that takes place on this show, which has got to be against the Geneva Convention. So many people are gassed. Like, that's a kids' show.
There's some heavy content. I mean, it's just to, you know, kids are kids, and just to throw your friend out the window, let's test this out. There's so many things if you break it down.
Yeah.
I'm still back at how the girl, the stewardess or the waitress just wasn't fazed that Batman and Robin are dining in for dinner. You know what I mean?
It's never a concern.
There's not even a flash. You know.
Have you guys read the Red Catwoman comics?
Yeah.
Some. Yeah.
She has her own run.
Yes.
Yeah, there's been a couple
Selena's
of series.
Selena's Big Score, and there was a couple of other ones. I haven't read them yet, but I've just heard that they're very good.
Yeah, she's an interesting character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that in the comics, Batman and Catwoman have just gotten engaged. I believe this is the thing that's happening.
Great.
Haven't read it myself.
Wedding of the Year.
It's on.
Wedding of the Year.
Now, there was a really interesting scene where you had Batman and Robin pulling up with the Batmobile out front of the building. Batman is running up to the building, and he goes straight to the meter to put in, I think it was 5 cents is the standard cut right there. Now, Robin was questioning the idea of, do we really need to pay for parking here? Like, no police officer is going to give the Batmobile a ticket. Now, Batman said the money that they put in goes towards funding Gotham roads. But immediately, I just thought about my friend Zach over here. Zach,
yes,
you drive a Batmobile around.
And I've had a parking fine, which turned out quite funny.
Okay, how did this happen? Run us through.
The first when that Batmobile pulled up, no one cared. If you see the scene, everyone's on their acting routes, and no one even cared the Batmobile turned up. I was so upset.
I would imagine
because
What's going on? Zach brought his Batmobile, and we're going to talk about it in depth in a second. But he drove his Batmobile into the dock here at SBS. We just went around the corner to check, like, a parking possibility for him. When we came back, I saw 6 SBS staffers walking around, all taking photos with their phones. So I'd imagine on a busy street, you've got some hardcore attention.
It's nuts. Yeah, while we're on the parking fine thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I understand with Batman where the money goes. I was doing this job for a girl that, you know, things weren't going great for her. So I said, I'll come pick you up from school one day and organize with the school. And I parked out the front because she's, you know, it's on a big hill and she's, you know, not in the best condition, let's say.
So, like, health issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pulled up out the front so all her friends would see, get in the car, you know. She was very excited and pulled off. And about 2 weeks later, I get a fine in the mail, 4 points and X amount of dollars because I was parked in a no stopping zone in school.
Now, your Batmobile is roadworthy.
Yes.
It's got license plates on it and everything. Do you get charged the same amount of money with a parking fine as like a regular car, or is there some sort of like...
I think everything's the same minus insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing that's hefty.
Okay, let's talk about this. So you have built a replica 1989 Batmobile.
Yep.
Okay, this is a fully roadworthy car. And if people want to see photos, we will have it on the website so you can take a look at it. But this is a proper Batmobile car.
Yep.
The first time I ever saw you, I'd moved to Sydney after living in Brisbane for a whole bunch of years. We moved down. My partner, she had moved down a few months before me. She decided she wanted to live around the Camden area of New South Wales because her workplace is near there. So it's very easy for her, less so for me because I'm generally working near the city. But like I'm there the second day, and Camden, it's not like it's a remote regional area by any means. There's a lot of suburbia, there's shopping centers, there's trains that go out there. Like it's a proper suburban type thing.
We have a country show too, that's amazing. Yeah.
But it is far removed enough to have a country show.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm feeling despondent in life because I'm wondering what on earth I've done. Like I'm living out in this weird regional place. And then suddenly I'm parked at some traffic lights. I look out my left like side window and I see the Batmobile go flying past me. And suddenly I felt okay in the world. Like everything just seemed right to me.
Well, Batman's looking out for you.
So this is about 3 and a bit years ago. Like, had you had the Batmobile for much longer before then? Like, what were the origins of building a Batmobile?
Because
you made this guy very happy.
Why do you have a Batmobile?
So it was probably the first movie that really something clicked in me because it was the 89 film that this car's from. So I was 4 or 5.
And the Batmobile was the same in the 89 and Batman Returns.
So. Similar, yeah. There's some differences, like the 89's a little bit wider. They made the 92s so they could fit into a container to send them, you know, wherever they needed to go. And there's a few different gadgets. But
the 89 one you felt the affinity for?
Well, it was the movie that just, like, scared me. There was nothing like it before. And I'm like any kid, I had all the toys. I either wanted to be Batman or a cowboy. You know, so I had the two, you know, the two ends of the spectrum there.
So if you'd gone the other way, you could have come here on a horse today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, dressed like John Wayne.
Mm.
And that probably wouldn't have been as interesting. But I grew up and I had this affinity for making things, and my grandfather was a mechanical engineer. So when you get to that age, you know, like 17, 18, you think you know, I didn't think you knew anything. And I started getting to my early 20s. I was like, geez, this guy's learned a few things. And we built some cars, and I just wanted to build a Batmobile. I was like, let's do something extreme, something that I had sort of an idea of that I could use it as a tool to give back. I got that from him, that philanthropy where, you know, it's so rewarding to be able to help out people. And I managed to find some original parts in a Hollywood auction, tracked them down, and bought them. I had enough that I could scale the car out at that stage.
So what sort of parts are we talking about there?
So they, when they made the original car, there's only one original 89, they made some molds and some excess parts. So if they did crash the car in filming, they could quickly put a nose on and keep going, or, you know, refiberglass a wing in, that sort of stuff. So I managed to track a few of those parts down. And with the help of my grandfather and my mum's partner, which is like my business partner now, we built this thing and got it street registered. And at that stage, I think there's a couple around now worldwide, but it was the only fully street registered one.
So it was out of a passion for the movie, but you planned to take kids around or show up to parties and do that kind of thing.
And was that the thought initially? Like, because essentially if I saw some things in a Hollywood auction, like, I wouldn't be thinking that far down the track to justifying it.
The seed sort of got planted for me. It was like, I remember thinking for my form, I was like, if I could have any car in the world, what would it be? And that was my favorite car, and it still is my favorite car. And I just thought, you know, you're like, you know, 15, 16, you don't know how things work. I rang Warner Brothers Movie World and said, what would it take? You know, I didn't say what would it take. I'd be like, hi, you know, I wanted to get the Batmobile to take me to my form, and they just laughed at me. And I was like, that planted the seed. Yeah, and then I'd built some really cool cars and some motorcycles, and then thought I was up for the challenge. And now this thing is just like, this thing's incredible. Like, it's, I mean, it's not exactly screen accurate because it's street registered, but I mean, it's like 600 horsepower. It shoots fire. I mean, I've got 40,000 Ks in the car. Like, it doesn't muck around.
And have you gone on road trips with it?
I've been most states in Australia, had offers to go overseas, never done the overseas thing, but
That'd be pretty expensive, I guess.
Yeah, hugely expensive. And like, where do you leave it? There's so much logistics stuff with it. But got the car finished, not registered, and I built a trailer for it.
Sorry, how long did it take you to build the car?
About a year. It only took me about a year to make it look like a Batmobile. Yeah. And
how old were you? Because you're not like, because I wasn't too sure how old you'd be when you turned up.
Yeah, most people expect some old guy.
Yeah.
When I started, I was early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a mechanic? No, by trade at all?
No, I've got a diploma in economics. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've got, you know, like if your dad's an electrician, you kind of grow up knowing a few things about, you know, and that was like that with my grandfather. Always knew how to weld, grind. I don't have much mechanical mind, but I'm very good at drawing things. So I can kind of express how I want things in, you know, in that way. But this thing just like took off. Like, I was just doing charity work when it wasn't registered, trailering it to kids that weren't very well and probably shouldn't have done it, but I'd drive around their neighborhood a little bit, you know, with the whole get up, and it sort of just grew from there. Like, it just went nuts.
Okay, so things you do now, obviously you do a fair bit of charity work.
Yes,
so I've seen you pull up to like a few schools and that kind of thing over the last few years.
Yep.
What else do you do? So charity work, you were saying earlier you do like weddings.
Yeah, and weddings, formal. So I'm like...
And you are dressed as Batman.
Legit, yeah, the full character too.
From the beginning, were you always dressed as Batman, or was it more about the car, just showing up and showing people the car?
Yeah, it was that, and then it evolved, you know, like, and then I was in like an Australian Batman, and that didn't work. And then I
Sorry, wasn't Australian Batman like the Australian flag as part of the costume?
Yeah, well, the Australian accent Batman.
Okay.
So that's kind of weird. And then you realise how savvy kids are, like your young fella.
Right.
You know, like he picks up on things, like if the shoes aren't right.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I bought like a $10,000 Batman suit. So it had to be the best. So I was running around with like this Ruby's. I shouldn't even bring their name in because they make the most rubbish suits ever. But I had like this costume maker make me like the most amazing suit. And then evolved it like I stayed in character. The accent went to American. and I learnt like magic tricks and like, and then I've sort of, so my character is like a hybrid of the Lego Batman for kids and then like the Keaton style.
Your performance, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's, yeah. Like you say performance, but it's from the moment I get there, you know, it's on. And I'm very shy, but when I'm Batman, it's like anything goes. Like I have so much fun. As this character, he's so strange. And I've developed a split personality, weird enough. It's probably not a good thing. But
now, the suit, which is on your website, BatmobileAustralia.com, it looks like there's a little bit of Christian Bale, but also maybe George Clooney in there. Is that possible? That it, or is it very definitively from one era of Batman?
No, it's not. It's so I've got the Michael Keaton suit, but that's a one piece, so you're in it all day, you're done, you know, and you can't drive and you can't turn your neck, any of that stuff. Originally I asked them, I said, how do you drive, how did they film in this? And they cut one in half, a Batmobile in half, and would film in from the side, but for, you know, the stunt driving, you know, they'd have a stunt driver. But mine's so a two piece, so I can at least take the top off to drive, and then my neck, I can turn my neck, which is like a legit, it comes up in the Dark Knight. You know,
right, yeah.
You want to be able to reverse park? And he's like, yeah. And that's 100% true.
That's amazing.
Now, when I go sort of past, usually McDonald's car parks, there'll be people sort of late at night and like sort of souped up cars.
Yeah.
And I've always got like a few girls around who just seem very excited by the cars happening. You've got a Batmobile. That's a pretty unique car. Do you get much attention from the ladies as a result?
It's an icebreaker. That's what it is. It's like perception is everything. So you see this thing. I'm trying to put myself in a girl's mind. You see this thing and you're like, this girl, this guy obviously doesn't take himself too seriously, which is like probably a good thing. The second thing is that like it looks really cool. So there's like there's that. And then you've got a conversation starter there, but you pick up way more guys and girls, you know, but it is very surprising. Like I've got some other cool cars and girls do not care, but this thing, it's like, yeah, it's surprising, especially older women. Something clicks in them, especially when I'm in the suit. It's like, you probably know with your daddy blogging, you get some interesting comments, but it's like something just triggers in like the older lady.
Okay, now your current girlfriend.
Think about she, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, your current girlfriend. Did she know about the Batmobile before you met her?
No.
Okay, so how does that come up in conversation? And I say this because I do a Batman podcast, and like my partner, she wants nothing to do with me or the podcast.
Yep.
So is this the same with the Batmobile?
It's so wasted on her, all this stuff. Like we've got the, you know, been invited to the premiere next week. We get to do all this
amazing.
Justice
League premiere.
Justice League premiere. And she's so not into it, which is probably kind of good in some aspect because she's there for the right way. But when we first met, I went to primary school with her, but she was a few years younger than me. So she kind of knew me and that sort of stuff. But I just had motorcycles. And I was, you know, trying to do the James Dean thing. So she found that cool. And then I said, you know, I want to build a Batmobile. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's okay. And then had no idea what it entailed. That mean, like, you're not going to get your dream house. You're not probably, we're not, you know, we've been together 8 years. We're not married. So all this sort of stuff has been sacrificed because, you know, old Zach wants to keep building Batmobiles.
Have you ever had fights where she's screamed, you're married to that Batmobile, but you won't marry me?
Yeah. She's never gone that below the belt before.
Good.
She's never gone there because there's some things you can say that you just can't take back, and that's one of them. Yeah.
Okay, a couple of issues of legalities.
Yes.
So first of all, licensing. Warner Brothers, who own trademarks for Batman, are they cool
DC.
With this?
Initially, no. So I got permission to build the car, and they were cool with that because I got some of the original parts and I could show them some of the other things that I'd made. Then once they didn't realize how much interest would be involved in this. Like, I started to do a couple of videos and they're getting a few million hits, and then they're like, hang on a sec.
Because up until them, in their mind, they're probably just thinking, well, he's just like some weird guy in Australia. Yeah. He's building a car.
Yeah. And that, like, that's definitely. So then I got a call from, and it came from Burbank. I won't say their names. And they were like, hang on, what's going on here? You know, because I started to do the odd birthday party and, you know, it was starting to get some momentum and, you know, with social media and all sort of stuff. So they were very worried about what Batman could say to kids. It's obviously a very protected character. You know, things I just won't say, you know, as the character of Batman, you can't be inappropriate in any way.
I'd go into your mother's purse and get me $5.
Yeah. Can't say stuff. Yeah, like, and that. Superman's even worse. But so they got to know me, and it got very expensive with solicitors back and forth on what I can and can't do. And now it's just case by case. But they're really good to deal with. Like, I've got a contact here in Australia that I ring them and have a chat to them about what I've got upcoming, and then they sort of yes or no it. But there was stuff like they just wanted to, you know, I had to be a right height. I could do the accent. Yeah, like, because Batman's over 6 foot, so that was important.
Oh.
And my question to them was, like, why aren't these guys that go to kids' parties dressed as Batman, you know, why is there no heat on them? And the argument was, when you turn up, it is so legitimate that that people don't know the difference. They think that we're definitely affiliated with Warner Brothers.
I see.
So it was that kind of, you know, if you say something wrong, it comes straight back on us.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, the whole licensing thing. Star Wars is even worse with Disney. Disney are like next level. But with me, they're pretty cool. Like, I've got no criminal history. I've never had anyone complain about what I do. And, you know, like, I think to date I've done like 100 wishes for Make-A-Wish. I don't know how much money there's been raised. And it's all in the good spirit of what Batman is and what the car can do for people. And
so there's no videos of Batman getting hammered at some pub
middle of nowhere. I don't drink or any of that stuff. Just protect myself. I've been approached by certain people that have some celebrity, and I won't go near it because they've got their connotation of whatever, you know. So I'm trying, you know, I try and protect it as much as I can, and I love it, and there's like a responsibility with it for sure.
Now, obviously, this is a full Batmobile, so you go out on the streets driving it.
Yep.
So you pulled up to SBS and I had to chase you around the building and take you into the dock earlier. There's some logistical issues. So I was thinking about the fact that you don't drink, which means – well, don't drink in the Batmobile, which means that you probably haven't had a cheeky cheeseburger through a McDonald's drive-through.
Only downside. It won't fit. It's too wide.
Yeah, it's too long as well, I'd imagine.
Too low, yeah. Like, yeah. I've got to find a Macca's that I can get through. They're awesome, though. If they see it pull up, they'll come out and take my order. It's amazing. The first time I knew I was onto something, like a quick story, they invited me up to do some stuff for Make-A-Wish in the early days, and I just got the car registered, and I'd got it taken to Brisbane, and I was driving down to the Gold Coast, and I could hear this horrible noise. I was like, what is this noise? So I haven't had the car at 100 k's an hour yet, so I pulled over, opened the hood, and the news helicopter had been chasing me down the freeway. I was like, what? And at that stage, I didn't know. So I got to SeaWorld, and all the news crews turned up. I was like, oh, something's going on here. And they're like, they come up to me, they're like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, I've just got something going on here with Make-A-Wish. And they're like, do you mind if you do a story? And then I clicked that they're here to chat to me. I said, how did you know I was here? And they said the news helicopter had chased you down the freeway and followed me all the way in to SeaWorld. And from that moment on.
Because how long ago was this?
This would have been 2012, I think.
Yeah, so like, you were probably right across Twitter that afternoon.
It was nuts. And there's not many people that I think can chase their life back to like a moment where it all changes. You know, I was like, in real estate, hating my life, you know, I had this project that was just fun and taking annual leave, as they called it, to run off and be Batman and stuff. And then that moment, it just changed.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I've done the American Today Show. That was another.
Really?
That I got up in the morning because I thought, you know, the vanity in me was like, I'll check my social media and probably got some emails. My phone didn't work. I was like, what's going on? Like, I charged it. Went into Telstra and I had 15,000 emails that night. So it shut my phone down.
Amazing.
And then it was just on, you know.
I would think that Warner Brothers would want to be in business with you.
Well, I don't really run it as a business. But if someone was that way inclined, they could do it.
Okay.
But they, you know, Justice League's going to clear $1 billion. I don't care about.
Yeah, yeah, right. I guess
about me. But
the thing to keep in mind with, because it comes from DC Comics and the comics community generally, there's a lot of fan ownership of these kinds of things. So I think just the business practices of the organization is that every so often they just let these things sort of skirt past. It's not
right.
Because they know that if they go after it, it's bad publicity and it cuts into the fandom of which supports a lot of this.
So you don't do you deal with Comic Con at all or show up to?
I do Supernova. That was like. I started with those guys. I've never done the Comic Cons here in Australia. It always seems to be on a bad weekend or they call me last minute.
Okay.
The first time I did Supernova, turned up with this Batmobile and they're like, yeah, cool, this is great. And then one of the organizers like, oh, you know, Superman's coming out. Do you want to meet Zack Snyder? I was like, yeah, I'd love to. He's like, we'll be here at this time. So I came back the next day and it's like a 2-hour trip for me. So I was like, oh, you know, I've dragged my girlfriend in. She's like, who's this guy? I was like, he's like director. He's like my favorite movie, one of my favorite movie, Watchmen, and all this stuff. So I've gotten out the backstage, and they're like, this girl's come up to me, and she's like, hi, how are you? I said, hi, I'm Zach. You know, nice to meet you. And she's like, can I get you a water or anything? I was like, yeah, water would be great. And this is my, like, kind of first experience with the Batmobile. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. I got a Batmobile. Of course, she wants to get me a water.
She's like,
5 minutes. So I was like, yeah, 5 minutes is fine. So 5 minutes comes, she grabs me, puts me on stage. And then you hear in the side ground, that's not Zack Snyder. And I was like, yeah, I know I'm not Zack Snyder. So she's like screaming at me to get off the stage. And then he's coming behind and walks, you know, with his entourage. So if I ever meet him, I'll tell him that story. But
that's fantastic.
She's like, still hates me to this day, this girl. And I've gotten to know her because I've done 5 or 6 now. But yeah, funny.
That's so. As someone who dons the cowl and drives around in a Batmobile, what do you feel like you have? I assume you have some special insight into what it feels like to be Batman, and that Batman as a character would mean something special to you.
Definitely. As I was saying, I've developed that dual personality.
Yeah.
And when you put this thing on, that's why I laugh at some of this stuff when we watched in the episode there where he sits down to have dinner with Robin, and you just can't do anything normal as Batman. It's one thing when you see someone dressed up, but when you see with the car, it's like pandemonium. It's nuts. Like, to have it all the time would be horrible. You become such a good person, like being able to read people very well. You can see when someone's getting brave, when they're going to do something stupid or they want to jump on the car, and you learn not to pretend fight with kids because they don't know when to stop. You know what I mean? Like, there's just lots of things that get picked up. But
do you feel like a hero?
No, it's like being famous. You can get away with things. Like, you can walk up and take a kid's ice cream that you don't know. You know, like, you can do things that, as yourself, sometimes I forget that I'm not dressed up and go up and start mucking around taking a kid's popcorn or you can immediately go up and talk to someone because their wall's down straight away. They see, oh, it's Batman. You know what I mean? So there's already a relationship there. You're not dealing with a stranger, even though I'm a complete stranger to someone. That wall's down.
Amazing.
It is unbelievable. And then you've got the alter ego of no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
So you've got this, like, even with the town I live in, I hear so many stories about, you know, things that I get up to, but no one knows it's me. It's right. Like the perfect level.
So in a way, you are Batman.
Yeah, there's people that I've met that have some celebrity, and I've met them as Batman, and I've been at an event or whatever, and I was like, oh, I should say something, you know, because we had a good time together. So, and they've just broke down, or they're like, I wonder what you look like. I just, you know, like, it goes down a sort of a dark path there, but a funny path.
Okay, so in terms of the fact you are in this roadworthy Batmobile, how do you, like, get a, you know, what are the police thinking when you're driving down the highways in terms of getting it registered? What do you have to do?
So initially I got not hassled, but the police would pull me over all the time and check my paperwork and whatever.
And so what sort of paperwork do you need?
I've got all my engineer certificates. So everything on the car has passed some sort of a test.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, oh, you know, I don't know, guys that are into cars, they put 20-inch wheels on their car and they get hassled because didn't come from factory. Mm. But everything on my car was made and tested. So like a new car would come out. So initially I got, you know, not hassled, but just, you know, you see a Batmobile, you're going to pull it over. And then I've developed a really good relationship with them, being involved in the Wishes. Every year I do their open days. So I go to the police stations and do all that stuff.
So most of them probably know you by now.
Yeah. And like even like probably 2 years ago now, I had a funny one. I got pulled up and I was like, yeah, you know, whenever there's a policeman, you get pulled up. So he's pulled me over and he didn't look too happy. And I said, you know, how are you, officer? And he goes, you owe me $50. I was like, what do you mean I owe you $50? He went, there was an accident about 6 months ago in the city and he explained the situation. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that one. And he got there and he said, what caused the accident? He said, the person's like, there was someone in front stopped immediately and started taking photos of this Batmobile and I hit him up the backside. And he went, what do you mean? Like a Lamborghini? He's like, no, like a Batmobile. And he's like, oh, he goes, $50 when you see this car, you go, it's the Batmobile. And then, you know, he was passing this story on and I was like, yeah, I remember that accident because you create a lot of accidents.
Yeah.
And have iPads out the windows on the freeway. And
have you been in an accident with it?
No, I've had a friend guide me into a park bench, but no, I've never been in, touch wood. I've never had an accident.
Now, in terms of other, like, there's no other Batmobiles out on the street, so it must be incredibly hard to build one of these.
There's a 66 near me, actually.
Really?
But he never gets it out. It's just a real wealthy guy. He's got a bunch of cars and just never gets it out.
Okay, we're gonna have to talk to that guy as well.
Yeah, I can push on. He's not gonna come in. He's gonna go give me $1 million. You know, so
it's SPS. Yeah, we don't have that.
Yeah. So he's cool though, but yeah, there's a couple out there.
That is phenomenal.
I only got the only one, 89. Myself in Movie World.
Yeah.
Got the 289s.
Now there's a guy in Brisbane who has a DeLorean of which he sort of kitted out with a few of the I guess sort of second iterations of the DeLoreans from the Back to the Future movies with the Mr. Fusion sort of on the back of it. Have you ever like hung out with those guys? Like sure there's other like movie vehicle enthusiasts.
Probably the best thing about having a Batmobile is meeting people. Like I get to meet you guys. You know, I've got a really good friend who has a DeLorean in Sydney. He's got flux and number plates. He has an LS2 in it, so a 6-litre V8. He just swapped a crappy V6 out, and this thing is amazing.
Because the DeLorean's not a good car.
No, and he's turned it into the most amazing car. And how we met, he was out my way, and I could see this car from a distance. And I was like, what is this coming down the road? And then I saw
him. Please tell me you were in a Batmobile when you saw it.
So I forgot I'm in a Batmobile. So this guy's going mental because, like, he's like, oh, my God, a Batmobile. And I'm going mental because it's like a sick DeLorean. Like, I'll have to put up some pictures so people can see how amazing this guy. He actually worked on something for Spielberg. Like, this guy's incredible. So we had this amazing fan moment. And then that bond, we've just been friends ever since. He's actually in SEMA at the moment over in America. But
sorry, what's SEMA?
SEMA is like the world's best car show.
Okay.
Like it's just, you know, Ferraris with body kits and just crazy stuff. Another guy helps me out on the odd wish. He's got like the Herbie, the actual screen used Monte Carlo, Herbie. He's really cool and there's a few really cool, like the Mad Max stuff. And
are you a huge Batman nerd with other stuff? Like, do you have all the comics? Do you have all the, like, is it your whole life?
No. I love it. Like, I'm more of an Elvis fan than a Batman fan. Obsessed with Elvis. But I've got a lot of stuff, and these things snowball because that's what people get you. When you got a Batmobile, get you that for Christmas, Batman-related stuff.
Right.
Like, I love it, but I've got tons of passions. Like, cars, anything, like, that rolls, explodes, or makes noise.
Okay.
Fascinated.
Now, it's expensive to keep this thing running.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm assuming that insurance is probably one of the big costs.
Yeah.
Can I ask how much you're slugged with? Is it embarrassing to say out loud?
Yeah. Before I was 30, it was well into five figures.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Five figures?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you think what it's worth. Like, I don't know. I'm sure people are interested. I had a guy turn up a few months ago. He rang me on the phone. He said, will you sell the car? I said, no, I'm not interested. He said, can we at least meet and we'll talk about some stuff? So he turned up. He said, will you take $1 million for the car? And I was like, no.
Wow.
And he said, well, $1 million for the car, my motorcycle and my suit. And I was like, no. And he said, will you take 1.2? And I said, no. And then he had a check already written for 1.5.
Oh.
And I was like,
whoa.
Hugely life-changing. I thought I could donate a good chunk of this away. But then I spoke to my pop and he's like, kids don't want money. They want an experience. And you're going to keep doing this stuff, right? And I was like, yeah. So, I mean.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was like crazy. Like it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, you know, I could buy a Lambo and maybe still do this thing, but it's not going to be the same. And I'm never going to get this car back. I could build another one possibly, but it's not going to be like original stuff on it.
Is it more, well, I guess the movie, that particular movie was more meaningful to you than the Christian Bale ones. It's not like you want to build one of those Tumblr things.
Yeah, well, I'm started on that one.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, yeah. So I've started on the Tumblr, but a four-seater. So because that's these things you learn and you evolve them. So the downside with the 89, it's only got one seat. So with the Tumblr, it's only got one seat as well originally, but there's room to make it a four-seater. So you can take mum, dad, kid, and they feel more comfortable. Whereas I've had to really train myself to be able to break people down quickly when it's just me and them.
Right. Do you have the resources to make like a Batwing or something? Like one of those planes? Helicopter?
Yeah, I could do it.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I could do it.
Okay, yeah. So you're looking at doing the Tumblr.
Tumblr,
I presume because you just think the films.
Yes, and I think that's my second favorite car.
Okay, so once you build the Tumblr, once you build the Batwing, which is obviously going to happen at some stage in your life.
Batcopter.
Do you start going backwards and do like the 66 Batmobile and that kind of thing?
There's a company called Fiberglass Freaks, and they do a 66 replica, like a licensed one.
Yeah.
So it doesn't – things that have already been made don't
– It doesn't interest you.
Interest me that much. Right. You know, like people have made the Tumblr, but like not to the level that I want to do it. Like I want to – it's got to go – I'm going to make it so the bike parks on the roof, you know, like make it extreme as possible. So things that are being done, you know, I would just hate to build a 66 and go, oh, you know, you buy that. I was like, no.
Yeah, right.
Have you gone to the effort of actually checking out some of the real vehicles? So I was in the US a few months ago and I saw, like, they've got this big, like, studio at Warner Brothers where they've got all the Batmobiles, like, all the, like, legitimate vehicles. Have you ever checked that out?
No, I've been invited to do it, but with the way things are, like, if I've got a wedding and that sort of stuff, I can't cancel on people. Like, I'm going to have to take a chunk of time not to do anything and then go. Like, I'm at this point where I'm launching, a supercar. And I'm hoping to do the trip to at least meet Jay Leno and some of those guys.
Yeah, because he's a big car guy.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to get my foot in that door. And I've made some amazing friends through social media through having this car. Like there's a lady in LA called Bat Venador, and she's got an Aventador, two Aventadors, that she's got the Batman like decals on. And she does.
What's an Aventador?
A Lamborghini Aventador. So it's latest V12 Lambo. So they're $1.2 million here for a. She's got two of them.
Okay.
And she goes to the hospital. So you develop this kinship with certain people that have these crazy toys that just want to share them with people. But I would love to do the tour. It's from what I've seen, it's amazing. I've my key ring in my car's from someone got me it.
Yeah.
It's from the studio tour.
And that's fantastic. You just walk into this room and it's every vehicle. And I had a huge smile on my face.
Hey. I've made an offer on the Forever Batmobile at Warner Brothers at Movie World, but they.
The one from Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Was that very different?
Yeah, it's massive wing. It's got the blue neon. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's kind of got the lights sort of within it when it's on the sides.
It'd be hard to get registered because you kind of like a 9-meter wing coming at the back. But there'd be things I would just have it and, you know, kids could come to my house, whatever. That sounds really weird. I would just be able to have it so people could enjoy it, you know, and look after it for the next person. Because that's all we really do.
Sorry, that's a question as well. You deal with a lot of kids. Do you have to have like a blue card for that?
Yeah, you just working with children, you know. But I try never ever to put myself in a position where it would come back on me. Like I always make sure there's a parent around because you just don't know. You've got to try and protect yourself in this day and age. But even just comfortable for the kids, you know, if the parent is comfortable enough to leave the kid in the car with me, I'll set up a GoPro or have their phone on FaceTime. So there's always that.
Yeah, sure.
You know, being a dad, you just can't trust anyone, can you? You know what I mean? Like, even though their wall's down when they meet me and there's this background, they can see the word of mouth, I just wouldn't want to put myself in that position.
Yeah. And how much of your time is being taken up with this? Is this every weekend for you?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got a beard.
Yeah.
You can't tell but from the podcast, obviously.
Yeah.
You're just shaving that off?
No. Well,
Batman's got a beard? There's some
variations where Batman has a beard, especially when he gets older, he's got a beard. Ben Affleck runs the stubble.
Right, okay. I'm assuming that your favorite Batman is Michael Keaton. Is that it?
Best Bruce Wayne is Bale, best Batman's Keaton. That's how I like that.
No one, well, not on the episodes I've been involved with, has someone split it up like that before.
But Bruce Wayne, I mean, Bruce Wayne's way more interesting character than Batman. I find it, the scenes in the movies where they've gotten Bruce Wayne right is so much more interesting than Batman.
Well, the Batman's kind of one note, right? Because he's just fighting he's on
or
a mission.
In the shadows or something. But, to have that two personality to try and fool everybody, to try and, he's in a cool car or fraternizing with women, that sort of stuff. But where The Dark Knight and Christopher Nolan got it so right was that character. Yeah. Right. We could go on forever. Hey, it's so interesting.
As we do every week on this podcast, we like to consider what we've learned from Batman this week. Zach, you're our guest. What have you learned from Batman?
In the episodes?
In the episodes or just in life generally. I mean, you've got a lot more wide Batman exposure than most of us.
I would say that everyone needs to have a little bit of Batman as far as in their character, or at least have an alter ego. Like, having an alter ego is the best.
I've got like four of them.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because there's a freedom to it. When no one knows who you are, you know what I mean? You can say what you think or feel or what you want to do in that moment, you know? Like, there's just something so free about it.
So it has to be a masked alter ego.
Yes. That's what we learn from Batman.
Wow.
A secret identity.
That's a powerful lesson.
Yeah.
I don't know if I will ever be able to fully experience that because I just don't have a mask that I can wear.
Next time you go to like a fancy dress, go to that extreme that no one knows it's you.
Yeah.
At your next party, think maybe Batman and not Eyes Wide Shut.
Right.
Oh, can I come to that one?
Nick, what have you learned from Batman this week?
There's so many things. Don't look directly into the sun because it can burn your retinas. Yep. Right?
Good information. Take that on board.
It turns out that Batman and Robin keep escaping from all their predicaments because their hearts are pure.
Yep.
I didn't realize that. My main lesson, though, is you don't call Catwoman baby.
That's an excellent lesson. I learned a whole bunch from this week. I learned that good grammar is essential easily. I learned that gossip columnists aren't taken out to lunch.
Mm. Twice he got rejected, didn't he?
Yeah.
He ordered maybe the most disgusting sandwich I've ever heard in that drugstore diner or whatever thing.
Yeah, look,
roast beef on white with mayonnaise, extra mayo. Sounded awful.
Yeah, I'm not ordering lunch with that guy.
No.
I think maybe the most important lesson that I learned from this week, and I think we've all learned, be prepared. You never know what's going to come along. Just be like a Boy Scout.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Account for every possibility. Zach, thank you so much for coming in. Like, this has legitimately been the most fun interview I think I've ever done.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Batmobile.
Yeah. Now, people can find you online. You've got a website and a Facebook page. Where do they find both?
My Instagram's Batmobile Australia, and my website's batmobileaustralia.com, and there's some links as well to Make a Wish for donation stuff. I find if people want to inquire and they've got like a really cool story and they're trying to do something really fun, I'm totally up for it, but try and be creative if you want me to try and come along to something. Thanks. You know, if you ring me and you're not excited, it's not going to happen.
I wish I'd been more excited than the email that I sent you.
No, it was good. Batman Land. Yeah. Sold.
But yeah, Zach, thanks so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. Nick, very briefly, you're on the Twitters, right?
I am. I'm at Hateful Hussy.
Oh.
I'm at Nick Bassin.
Yes. Bhasin.
That's right.
Yeah. People can find me at the Dan Barrett on Twitters. But folks, you've been listening to the Batman Land podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave a review. It does help other people find it. So leave it on Apple Podcasts or whatever your podcast platform of choice is. And if you're discussing the show online, hashtag BatmanLand helps further the conversation. We'll be back next week with episode 3. We're talking to our culture and film critic, Luke Buckmaster. Same Catland time, same Catland channel. We'll see you then.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.